And that same disciple, John, many years later, after Jesus had died, was buried, and rose from the dead, sending the disciples and all who follow him on a mission to share the good news around the world, he writes these words to some believers in what would be modern-day Turkey. 1 John 4, 7 through 12. My beloved friends, let us continue to love each other, since love comes from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and experiences a relationship with God. The person who refuses to love doesn't know the first thing about God, because God is love. So you can't know him if you don't know love. This is how God showed that he loved us. God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. This is the kind of love we're talking about. Not that we once upon a time loved God, but that God loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to clear our sins away and the damage that they have done with our relationship with God. My dear, dear friends, if God loved us like this, we certainly ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, ever. But if we love one another, God dwells deeply within us, and his love becomes complete in us. Perfect love. Amen. How do we know God smiles? Many have associated God with that fierce or even stern parent who critiques, condemns, judges, scolds, and, well, frowns. Well, where do we get those images from? Well, when life is hard, when difficulties arise, when pain is severe, it's easy to understand how our understanding of God is shaped a lot by our understanding of ourselves. And we also learn some of those sides to God in the Hebrew Scriptures as a place where God describes his love as jealous, meaning that he doesn't want us to love anyone else. That we sometimes might get the idea that God is always vengeful, always frowning, always having something to judge. But I think we are still too often projecting our own feelings of judgment and condemnation on God, and instead recognizing that the Creator God is all-powerful and all-loving. And we instead create our own gods that reflects our image instead of trying to reflect God's image. Well, the early church in the first century, John wrote these words about love. He could have written about anything. He could have reminded the Christians that God hates sin. And he does. He could have reminded these dear listeners in Turkey, remember, God's watching. But he didn't. Instead, these believers, meeting in houses and homes around corners and places of secrecy out of fear of judgment from the government, from warring factions, conflict, judgment, war, economic hardship, the pain of losing loved ones, struggles of moving on, they were needed a word from God. They needed something, and they didn't need a frowning God. Because John is convinced that God does not frown, that God is love, and that God loves them. and that they are to demonstrate that hopeful love, that persistent love, in how they treat each other. And not just each other, but everyone they meet along the way of life. We know that Jesus was sent to set things right side up that were upside down. He was sent to show us what God was like. He said, "You have seen me, you've seen God. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn it, but that the world through him might be saved." To enjoy God forever. That's the purpose of creation. And that's what we learned from Susan. Susan reflected that kind of love in action. That persistent smile. She didn't say much. But couldn't you always tell what she wanted to say? Couldn't you always read in her behaviors, sometimes shockingly, what she wanted, what she needed, what she was trying to express? In fact, if it weren't for Susan, I suspect, in the lives of the ones that knew her best, they probably learned an entire new vocabulary, a Susan vocabulary, that has enriched their lives and all the lives of those that they touched. Susan's mission was no doubt far more expansive than we could even imagine, even more than Helen and Jake could imagine. But I know one of those missions was is to show us that God smiles on us. Susan not only put that love in action, so now it's up to us to model that in our actions. Maybe more of us should be of fewer words, like Susan. Maybe that would be a great test in the weeks and months to come as we mourn her passing. To remember that, you know, if Susan was here, we wouldn't be hearing too many words at all. But yet we would experience God's smile. How could you and I show God's smile to that grumpy neighbor across the street? How could we show God's smile to someone who may have even inadvertently mistreated us or said something, misspoke something inadvertent that hurt our feelings? How could we convey our own love for someone else without words? You know, it's a lot simpler to smile than to speak. I think if Susan were here, she'd like it if we right now would just take a moment and turn to the person near you and just smile at them and make it a real smile. We don't need to see a lot of teeth, you know, it's not about laughter, just a smile. Susan somehow found a way of conveying her experience of God, her experience of life, through her appearance, through her gesturing, through her vocalizing. I think that's the great lesson that Susan leaves for us. For God is love, and so we shall love. Amen.